So if you now turn your in Philippians to chapter 2, this is a very well-known section. I know our brethren have spoken on this before. But today's topic is to crab or not to crab. To crab or not to crab. What is crabbing speaking internationally? What is crabbing speaking internationally? When we think of that person's a crab, we're saying that person is angry or snapping. That's not what I'm talking about. That would be more our concept here in North America. But when we discuss the word crabbing internationally, it's understood. I was speaking with a Hispanic fellow not too long ago, and he gave me the illustration. He said, you know, we have a saying in our culture. He said we have two buckets, a bucket filled with gringo crabs, that means American crabs. We have another bucket filled with Mexican crabs. And at mid-morning, the bucket with the American crabs is empty. But at mid-morning, the bucket with the Mexican crabs is full. And he said, you know why? I said, why? He said, because the American bucket, the bucket with the American crabs, when one American crab gets up to the top, he reaches down and helps the next crab get out. And so they're all out working. But the Mexican bucket, one crab gets up to the top and all the other crabs reach up and pull him down. I was sharing this illustration with a missionary who has been a missionary for many, many years in Africa. And he said that he was speaking the same concept in Africa. And one of the elders after the meeting came up to him and said, we have a word for that in our culture. It's called crabbing. Crabbing. Let's read Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As Christians, we have a world view. We project to the world how we view things. Talking to this Mexican fella, he was sharing this bucket illustration, talking to this missionary from Africa. He was sharing the world view that they had in Africa. In this passage, it talks about the mind directly 4 times and 2 times indirectly. There's a mind that we're supposed to have as Christians. And we live in a culture that is no longer Christian. Let's face it, America is not a Christian country. However, having said that, many people in our culture still do things out of habit. But they don't know why they do it. It's just like Christmas. People go through the routine of Christmas, but they don't understand the whys and the wherefores. Why do people have a mindset the way they do? We as Christians have a mind, a worldview that looks outward. Why do we help one another? Because that's the illustration of the bucket. Right? The gringo bucket, the American bucket, they're reaching down and helping the next one out. The next one out. But the Mexican bucket, they're pulling them down. Don't let them get out. People come here to this country. I think of my mother. My mother came to this country, didn't have a thing. But somebody helped her. somebody help her get all her papers and residency all in order, because she came here illegally. Well, it wasn't a Mexican who helped her. I think it was an American. Audrey was American. And I have a hunch probably a Christian. And I wonder, why? Why do we help other people? Did I think the thoughts right in him, in this passage? It's a view that changes our perspective. And I think oftentimes it's good to go back and think, why do I do the things that I do? Because there is a root in Scripture that helps me to have that perspective. Look at verse 2. Paul is telling the Philippians, "Fulfill my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." This like-mindedness. Why is there so many problems? Just think of the problems that there are in homes. There's divorces all over the place. There's problems between parents and children. There's problems in the assembly. There's problems in the workforce. People just don't think alike anymore. So, you don't think like me. I'm out of here. I'm gone. See you later. Before, they used to be customer loyalty. Well, customer loyalty? I got the internet. Whoever's got the cheapest price and has free shipping, that's who gets my business. That's just the reality of life today. You know, the doctors have some loyalty, but if the doctor messes up, I'm going somewhere else. And I'll get the second and third opinion. There isn't that thinking together anymore. We're a society that's been divided up. And that carries over into the home, carries over into the assembly of God's people. We're supposed to have, like it says here, this mind of having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And you know how that happens? It's having the mind of Christ, because that's what it says later on. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is pride, isn't it? I remember when I used to play ball, I used to love to play basketball. Love it. And I was the defensive player on the team. I just let the coach say, "You shut number so-and-so down." That was all my job. My job was just, that guy didn't touch the ball all game. But there was a certain pride that I took, and it just filled me up. I played because I wanted, there was that sensation, I'm better than you. I'm going to be better and better and better. There's a lot of things in this world that motivate people that way. People are motivated either by this pride, or they're motivated by strife. You watch, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back. And so they're motivated at work to do better because I'm going to get back. Because they took the glory from me, I'm going to get great problems in the workforce. But Paul is saying here, let nothing be done because of strife and pride. Don't do it that way. Why should you do it? Or how should you do it? But in lowliness of mind, of humility. You know, our culture in which we live considers humility weakness. It is. To take a humble place is to be because you're weak. If somebody screams at you, you gotta scream louder. It's just the way the culture is. You know, if somebody screams and you just lower your head. In saying, we say you lower your ears. Yeah? That's not taught today, is it? Humility is not taught. But here's the thing, with lowliness of mind, a humble attitude, let each esteem other better than themselves. The word esteem comes from the mind. It's the value that you give something or someone. You know, we live in a throwaway society. Just look at all the stuff you have to recycle every week. We just throw stuff away. Clothes, books, computers, cars. We're constantly cycling stuff through. You know, when you buy something new, you value it. But after 5 years, how about the wife you've had for 10 or 20 or 30 years? Do you still value that? Well, I hope so. But our culture doesn't. That's why they throw away marriages. Kids, I want the kids, get rid of the kids. People don't esteem things. They don't value things.
only supposed to esteem them, I'm supposed to esteem them better than me. Boy, does that take me off my throne. Because normally, our measuring stick is, oh, he's not as good looking as I am. Or he doesn't speak as good as I am. Or he doesn't drive as good as I. Or he doesn't have as beautiful wife. You know, whatever it is, it's always we're measuring with ourselves. That's the flesh, folks. That's the flesh, brethren. The flesh measures against itself. When are we going to get it that our flesh is just so weak? As Michael prayed, Lord, there's nothing in you that is seen in us. Yeah, I'm supposed to have that lowliness of mind. I'm supposed to esteem others better than myself. It's not easy. You know, if it was easy, it wouldn't be here. It wouldn't be here. We would do it naturally. It's unnatural. It's unnatural to esteem others better than yourself. It's unnatural. It's spiritual. And it's only as the Spirit of God works in us that we have that mindset, that we have that value. Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. As I was meditating on this, I started cracking up. Think of this concept. Look not on every man on his own things. That means I shouldn't just look at my things. I want your things too. And yours. No, that's not what he's saying. It's not talking here about covetousness, about wanting more things of others. No. You read it that way, you say, I never thought I could read it that way, but if you don't read it in the context, it could say, hey, I should be thinking of other people's things for me. No, that's not what it says. It says I shouldn't be looking at my things, but considering the things that others have, the interests that others have, the needs that others have. You know, I'm coaching a middle school boys basketball team right now. And it just really thrills me when I get a chance to tell, hey, great job, you did. Their face just lights up. And I thought, isn't that true? They're at that stage in life where to be stroked on the positive things that they do, they just light up like a Christmas tree. And I think to myself, isn't that what we all need? Don't we all need that others would consider our needs? Doesn't the Lord say it's better to give than to receive? And how often is that as we give to others and you just see them encouraged, you're encouraged as well. You know, I went down to Brazil to give. And the Lord gave me back so much more. I came away. I haven't been in a third world country in many, many years. I haven't been in a place where, you know, there's just a real hunger for God's word. But it's grown there. It was fabulous. I was encouraged. The brethren were encouraged by our visit, but I walked away encouraged because they gave to me. And as we give to each other, we have this worldview that's helping the next person out of the bucket, you see. Now, our worldview encourages us to move forward, not to hold people back. And you see, what ends up happening many, many times, and this happens in Christian circles as well. I've been at the end of the stick of someone giving it to me. When you see a brother, the Lord blesses the gift, oftentimes people are jealous. That's what it's talking about here, Jim. And they say, oh, he's not that good. And they hold him back instead of encouraging that gift to go forward and to use more and more of the Lord. And how difficult it really is. What a hardship that is, not to that individual alone, but shouldn't we be encouraging one another and helping each other out of the bucket so that the body of Christ is edified? Isn't that what it is? It's edified. It's built up as the gifts are used, and we all are building up to that perfect man that the Lord has, that stature, that when he comes, that bride will be just right. But it takes perspective. If I see somebody ahead of me, does that hurt me inside? And I want to hold them back, you know? I'll tell you, I'll be honest. It happens to me. I think this way. At times, you bet. I've got the flesh, folks, just like you do. And I have to say, Lord, that is wrong. Forgive me for even thinking. Lord, I want to encourage that person to go on to be the best Christian that they can. But for the second there, you know, there's a thought in your mind that says, oh, but so-and-so is going to go forth. What was John the Baptist's attitude? He must increase, and I must decrease. And isn't that what the important area in the Christian life, that others, as they come along, you know, I look at some of the younger men and women, as they come up, you know, 20, 25, you know, they might just, you know, zip by. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I look at some of the children, and I didn't have the upbringing and all the stuff that my kids have, and to see them just flying by, I'm thinking, boy, I didn't have that when I was 17. But you know what? I'm not going to hold them back. Well, because I didn't have it. You don't have it? No way. On the contrary, let's open up all the doors so that they can fly through. If that's what the Lord will, of course. Because we should be opening doors for people to go through them, not closing them. And that's really an interesting perspective as a believer, making it so that the next generation can move forward. I think of the story of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor's grandfather wanted to go to China. Couldn't go. Just too many financial responsibilities, you know, with the home and everything. And he instilled in his son the desire to go to China. And he couldn't go. But then there was this rickety kid called Hudson who had all sorts of medical problems. And the Lord chose Hudson to go to China. And the story, if you have read of China, the Lord just opened inland China to a great man of God. But a man who was so humble and so low. What a man of God. What an example. Just like John the Baptist. But the perfect example of lowliness we read in the succeeding verses. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Who being in the form of God, thought it. Here's his worldview. Hey, Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity. He's equal across the board with his Father. But he thinks not, robbery, usurpation, as one translation says, he's not going to take that position. He takes a low position in service to his, in obedience to his Father, and in service to us. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. No reputation. You know, we spend most of our life building a reputation, don't we? I mean, I went to school, and when I think of the college I went to, they spent a lot of their time saying, you know, you're at one of the best engineering schools in the country, and we do this better than everybody else, and we do that better than everybody else, and now you come out with a head about that big and say, well, from one of the top 5 engineering schools in the country, wow, look at me. I tell you, the Lord had to pinch the, you know, the bubble and get all that air out, you know. But the reality is, our society encourages us to build a reputation. But the Lord already had his reputation, and he didn't take it. He didn't take it. And I often wonder, as believers, when we desire to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, said in that same verse. We like being said, oh, doesn't that person serve? Oh, they're great servants. We like that topic, you know, and Christians, you know, that's supposed to be the Christian thing, you know, we're servants. How about when you get treated like one? Huh? Then what happens? Is your attitude still the same? I had one time, yeah, we were in Spain, in Madrid, and I got to the chapel early, and the chairs hadn't been set up. They didn't have benches, they had chairs. So I set up all the chairs real nice, you know, got them all set up. And probably, you know, 10 minutes before the meeting starts, somebody else came in with authority. And they redid all the chairs. I thought to myself, I'm never going to set up those chairs again because they sure didn't consider my work. And I thought to myself, Lord, forgive me. Who cares? Lord, I did it for you, not for others to see. How often when we serve, we want to get credit for the service that we're giving. We want people to know, you know, so-and-so did that, and so-and-so did that. Isn't that the most important thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ know? Isn't that the most important? And you know, if somebody, you do it, and they step all over you because they even give the credit to someone else, doesn't that happen sometimes too? You do this, and oh no, so-and-so did it. Yeah, I did it. We're giving it to somebody else. Oh, wait till I talk to him. So what? Big deal. But you know, that's the flesh inside of us. That we have to be dead to that flesh. We have to be servants as the Lord was a servant. Because look further in verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of a cross. What service the Lord Jesus Christ rendered? Because as Michael prayed, he went to that cross for you and for me. Out of service and love for us. But he did it also out of obedience to his Father. Now, are we willing to continue to have a world view of serving others around us? Reaching down and helping the next one to move forward and to go on? Or are we saying, nope, hey, this is my job. Nobody's going to get this job from me. I'm going to die in this position in this church. Nobody's going to touch my job. Or are we opening the door and saying, no, come on. Come on board. I'm going to show you how to do this. I'm going to show you how to do that. Because it's not easy, folks. We like the niches that we build ourselves in service. We feel comfortable with them. We get stroked and say, oh, I feel good. But if nobody else comes along and feels good, they're not going to have ownership of this assembly. They're not going to have ownership in a home. If my kids don't feel like they feel part of the house, they're investing. When it's time to go, they're gone. It's not their house, it's my house. But if it's their house, if they're putting into it, if it's the same thing at a job, you know, this 100-year-old house we have in Spain, we learned a lot of lessons. The Lord is so good in teaching us illustrations if we're willing to kind of open our eyes and our ears. I had a young man from Illinois come and help us for a summer, this is some years ago. And I said, you know, I got to put the frame on the window to finish. I said, I know you're not going to do it like I would do it, like I want it done, so don't worry about it. You do it like you want to do it. You do it. And he sure did. He did it different than I would have done it. But you know what? He was happy doing it the whole time. Because he did it according to his standard. It still looks good. It looks perfect. Fine. I would have just done it a different way. But you know what? I'm glad he did it. And I learned a lesson. You know what lesson I learned? You want people to help? You gotta give them some slack. You gotta let them do it accordingly how God guides them along. You open the door, they're gonna come through. And if they come through, they may not just dot their I's and cross their T's just the same way. Because you know, we're opening doors. The Lord Jesus Christ opens the door of service. He leads the way. He shows us what it is to be a sacrificial person. He gave it all. And if we serve the Lord and give all to the Lord, it goes up as that sweet fragrance, like it does awesome. It goes up. But it may not be exactly the way I want it done. But you know what? It doesn't have to be the way I want it done. No way. No way. You know, we see others as they work and we say, encourage them. let's move on and say, let's work together, be of one mind, of one love, that the Lord Jesus Christ might receive all the glory and the honor. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his perfect example of lowliness, of service, of giving it all for us. And Lord, we do pray that we will truly have that same mind which is in Christ Jesus, that mind of helping others, of encouraging others, of helping them along. Lord, we live in a society that really what it don't want to do is hurt others. We pray that truly we would have that love of encouraging one another, encouraging those that are around us too that are without Christ, that they might move forward in their understanding of the gospel, move forward in their understanding of Scripture and of the Lord Jesus, and also that they might come to know Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus